God gave me this message early this last week. Probably really started pressing it out probably Thursday, Friday of last week. I knew I was going to preach it on Wednesday night. This is going to help us as a church. This is going to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. I might have said 13, but 18 verse 15. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. And the title of this, Kyle, will be restoration. The point of the message is restoration. Okay? All right. So I'm giving y'all some time to find Matthew 18, verse 15. I hate to lose. I've been competitive my whole life. I mean, from tiddlywinks to Scrabble to cards to sports. I hate to lose. You know what I mean? I hate to lose a possession. Like, if we're playing ball, like basketball or something, and I mess up or something happens, while I'm going back down the court, I'm thinking of how I messed up or what I didn't do. Or, man, and sometimes I'll see myself, I'll move my hands like, I did this instead of doing this, or I jump instead of, I'm going through it in my mind. Well, then, if it's important enough, I'll think about it the next day, right? Are y'all good? Does anybody in here like to get spiritually whooped? I hate it. As a pastor, as a man of God, as a Christian, as a believer, I hate when the devil wins in my life. I hate it. And as a church, we should hate it when the enemy beat us. And it's not a people, when I want to give this to you, it's not a people thing, but I hate to tell you this, we're dealing with people, okay? That we're operating against a spiritual being, but a physical through people sometimes, okay? Y'all understand what I'm saying? So tonight we're going to watch a little bit of film. What I mean by film is, I know for a fact that we struggled in this area. How about that? We've got whooped here before. And from going forward, we're never going to get whooped here again, hopefully. And if we ever do, guess what? The first question is going to be out of my mouth is we're going to say, hey, let's go check out Matthew 18, verse 15. And if we don't get it then, you know what I'm going to say? Hey, let's go get on the web and let's pull down that teaching from restoration and let's listen to it. Amen? I feel bad for the people that didn't make it here tonight. Have y'all ever heard me preach about people that didn't make it on Wednesday night? I don't care that they didn't make it. I'm kind of feeling bad for them because they're not going to have this in their tool belt. This baby's going to be in your tool belt. And I want you to use it from now on as a Christian, okay? I told Melissa this, and she don't, well, I can't say it that way. It's because she's sitting here. I tell her, listen, I was so excited about teaching. I kept saying this over and over today. I wish somebody had told me this 10 years ago from a pulpit, okay? So that's how excited I am about this. Do y'all remember the movie War Room? Remember when the older lady asked the younger lady, she goes, do y'all fight? Do y'all fight good? And she said, that's the one thing we do good is fight. And she said, I don't think so. Y'all remember that? What she meant is you fight, but you don't fight good. This is exactly what this is about. We need to learn how to fight. God has given us a blueprint on how to deal with confrontation or when we're done wrong as a body of the church. And if you don't deal with it this way, you get whooped every time. Y'all good? You ready? Now listen, I want to tell you this. I'm gonna be honest for you. As a man of God, as a pastor, I'm gonna tell you this. 99.9% of the people never do this because it's hard. Because it takes you got to have a little bit of a backbone about you, and that's where we kind of mess up. Well, y'all ready? Let's get in the Word. Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, is that where y'all are at? Is that what y'all are seeing? If thy brother shall trespass against thee, if thy brother sin, are y'all seeing that? A trespass, a sin. All right. If he does you wrong, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. This never, ever, ever happens. Rarely happens. We tell everybody but the person that's offended, that's trespassed against us, that's made some error and we know it and it's hurt us. We tell everybody but that person. Are you okay? And I'm not preaching to you as much as I'm preaching to us. When somebody trespasses, when somebody sins, when somebody does something wrong to you, listen, here's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go to that person alone. That person alone, one-on-one. Why? I started thinking about this. Why do we do that? Why in the world would you want to do that? Why would God have us do that? And I started thinking to myself, because God put a word in there. Moreover, if thy brother has trespassed. You know what it makes sense to me? Maybe, you might want to write this one down, maybe they didn't. Maybe you thought they did. Are you okay? Maybe it's a you thing, not a them thing. And if you go to them, maybe they'll say, no, you misunderstood that, or this is what happened, and guess who's involved? Two people, not 22 people, not 32, not 102, not 202. Nobody's involved. And you know what? Have you ever had a bad day as a Christian? Have you ever took something the wrong way as a Christian? Man, every Sunday. Every Wednesday, a lot of them. Somebody might be having a bad day, and you run into them, and they say, and they walk, and you're like, "Man, they hate my guts. They didn't like what I did. They must be." And you don't even, we don't have a clue what's going on with them. Amen. They might not even remember they even seen you. And you, they've rubbed me the wrong way. You okay? So guess what? I think when God put that, if a brother, if a sister has trespassed, boy, when you get down to that one-on-one thing, man, they could have said, you know what? I don't even, that day, I'm just going to give you an example, okay? That day, my animal got hurt. My kids were upset with me. And I come to church and I was tore out of the frame. And being honest with you, I wasn't just mad at you. I was mad at everybody. I'm sorry. When you'll be like, oh, it wasn't a me thing. It was not a, they didn't trespass against them. I misunderstood what they were dealing with. Is that all right? Does that make sense? That helps, don't it? That helps me. When you bring two people in the room and you say, and you go to them and you say, look, what if they really did? What if they did say something? What if they do say something? What if it's repetitive? What if it's going on and it's been like the third week and they've said it again? They've offended you again. They've hurt you again. They've lied on you again. They've said, oh man, what does it do when you get one-on-one? It stops the confusion. Amen? It stops the confusion. Because when you get face to face and you say, hey, listen, why are you doing this? They can only give you one answer. I did do it or I didn't do it. Right? They can only tell you why they did do it. Guess what? What you're doing in that, you're getting rid of all the confusion, all the pretense, all the stuff that's lying between you two. Amen? If you don't, if you go tell everybody else, I think so-and-so's talking about me. I think so-and-so's saying this. I think they're doing that. You know what's going to happen? You're going to get some people that are on your side. And you're going to get some people on their side. And guess what? It's going to start building this gap between both of you. And then there's going to be a rift in the church. Because there's a lot of confusion. Because nobody knows really what happened. Because nobody's talked directly face-to-face. But it builds on itself. And that's our human nature loves that stuff. It does. I don't care who you are. If somebody tonight got in the car and said, something happened over there in the thing between them. What was it? I can't say. The time you get on, you better tell me. I want to know. Right? You want to know because you want to be filled in. Because that's the way we are. We love that information. Well, guess what? It also gives you a place Oh, look at this. What I wrote down. It takes away the misunderstanding. Amen? It takes away misunderstanding completely. It takes away confusion. Takes away misunderstanding. It takes away embarrassment. Whew. Because if you're embarrassed, I know what I do when I'm embarrassed. I do an opposite reaction. You know what I'm saying? If I do something done embarrassing, if I fall down, I jump up. Right? If I fall down, I'm getting up as fast as I can. I'm going to hop up. People say, man, I thought you fell, but you were back up so quick I didn't know if you fell or not. Right? If you embarrass somebody in front of a big group, even though you're trying to solve the problem, you might embarrass them because it's in a public setting. It can make it worse. It can make a big reaction. You could get somebody who was probably wanting to work it out, but now that you've embarrassed them and maybe their face got red or maybe somebody thinks they've done something wrong, now they're going to react big and bold. You be quiet. You mind your own business. You go get out of my face. You give them no room, and guess what happens right here? This embarrassment, then pride comes along. And if you listen, pride in this situation, you don't give. What it does when you go one on one, it gives opportunity for the person to get out of it without having to eat that I did wrong thing in front of a lot of people. Your pride kicks in, and you. Man, it's hard to say you're wrong in front of people. It would be hard one-on-one, but it's hard when you've told everybody and they've told everybody and then you've confronted them and all of a sudden, man, in front of everybody, their pride's going to be built up and guess what? It's going to go. It's going to go the way it's going to go. There's no place for restoration right there. Do you see this? I want you to see it because, man, when I read this and I understand it, we've dealt with this here. We've dealt with this. You keep on telling, you know what so-and-so did? You know what so-and-so did? Do you know what so-and-so did? Know what so-and-so did? Guess what? You've repeated what so-and-so's did, but so-and-so's still doing it. Right? And then all of a sudden, all you have is reactionary stuff. Maybe there's a little bit of embarrassment. There's maybe a little pride. A whole lot of misunderstanding. Right? And nothing's ever, what are we going to do? You know? Miscommunication. And then there's bigger. When you come one-on-one, face-to-face, guess what you've done? You stopped other issues from happening. Because I'll be honest with you. I don't care how you walk out of a room or a place with just the two of you. A lot of times when you walk away, even if you don't agree, guess what? Both parties are going to usually be settled and be quiet about it. Right? You end a lot of that right there, one-on-one. Well, I didn't know that was getting out. I didn't know that was happening. You know? And then they know what you're bothered about. You know, they know exactly what you're bothered about. Let's just go on the opposite side of this, okay? What is this for? I want y'all to get this. I know this is like medicine tonight. I get it, but it's good medicine. Hard to swallow, but it's good. I want you to get this. Why do we do this? Because you want to be right? You want to prove that brother or that sister wrong? No. What you're wanting to do is restore. Listen, write this down. What I want in the church, what you want in the church, if you're a healthy, normal Christian, is you want peace. We want to come in here and have peace in our heart, in our lives. We want to worship God. We want to learn from God. And we want to go out in the world and change the world. We don't want to come in here and be fighting. We don't want to come in here and be like, I'm just going to be real with y'all. You don't want to come in here and go, oh gosh, there's old brother so-and-so. I wonder what they're going to do now. There's sister so-and-so. I can't stand her because she's always saying this. You tap your wife and her husband. You know? That's not the way it's supposed to be. And you're not coming to that person to point out they're wrong for them to be wrong and then to be hurt. You're wanting to restore. That meeting should be something like, this is hard for me. This wasn't easy. What would have been easy for me to do was to call my best friend in the church and just wear you out. That would have been easy. Because That girl, that guy, they love me and they would have agreed with me and you would have been a roasted duck. Amen? Young amen, everyone's going to be all right. But nothing got solved. Because the next week, I'm not going to just call my friend. I've got to call somebody else because, man, it's getting out of control. And you're getting whooped. And you're losing. And the church is losing. Right? But that one-on-one, it stops so much. God put it in there for a reason. And he talked about it in churches. One of the few places in the Bible that Jesus gave direct orders to help the church. He really didn't even speak about the physical church that much. He must have knew. When you get about 2-3 people, then multiply that all the way up to 200, there are going to be some issues. And this is how you deal with it. And if you'll deal with it right, guess what? There's going to be some amazing stuff. Now let's look at the second part. And all these things are multiplied again. These are the same things are applying. What's this? But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them. Now look at this. What have you done? You get two people who? That are wanting to resolve the situation. Who are going into it. When you're walking into that room with two or three, you're walking into that room not like, oh. You know what? Come on. You got me? We're about to wear you out. Right? You're coming in there broken over the situation because you've tried to restore this and gain the brother, gain the sister. You're trying to say, hey, we want this problem solved where we can continue on and do great things for God. We shouldn't be at each other. This man, if we're fighting in the house of God, man, what chance do we stand out there? This in here is family. And we can have a little bit, man, but if we're at each other to the point where, man, it's starting to get stagnant and it's starting to get hard and we're pulling in opposite directions. If you're pulling in opposite directions, guess what's going to happen? God ain't going to be in that. A house divided will not stand. God ain't going to come in there and, you know, I hate that guy, I hate that girl, I hate that. No, I can't. God's going to be sitting there going, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, God, please come down and do something great. He's like, what are you talking about? You're sitting here contemplating how bad you hate sister so-and-so. Why in the world would I show up? Amen? I love that. Love that. How do you know you pass from life unto death? Death unto life is because you love the brethren. Man, you love people. And God wants this worked out. And I mean, you're coming in there, I mean, hat in hand. What can we do? What can we do? What? Listen, we want you back. Please stop doing this where we can love you and you can love us and we can move on. Are y'all good? I hope tonight, man. I hope you're, oh man, Kevin, couldn't you come up with something spiritual tonight? Man, I'm going to be honest with you. It's about as spiritual as it gets for me. I'm being honest. I wish somebody taught this to me because I know it's not that you're going to run around here in the Holy Spirit and shouting and running, tears running down your face. But I guarantee you one thing, this is something you're going to deal with. Again, as a Christian, probably more than you will the spiritual stuff. But we're going to get to the spiritual stuff in a minute because I didn't know something was in here. Watch this. Let's look what we do. Listen, 99.99999 whatever to the 1,000th degree, this never happens. But that's changing. This is changing. Going forward, we're going to do it this way. Whew. Toughen up, right? Watch this. Watch. But if he will not hear thee, take two or three. Verse 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Did y'all hear that? That's hard. Is that not hard? Would that be hard? What's the benefit? You're trying to restore. What are you trying to restore? You're trying to restore the fact that God, we want God in this. We're not trying to get rid of somebody. What we're trying to get is rid of a spirit that's hindering the work of God. And guess what? Write this down and remember that I said it. Nobody is more important than God and the body of Christ in the church. Period. No one person is worth, no two people are worth holding everybody hostage for God's sake. I mean, are you understanding? For the sake of them being, oh, I'm going to keep on till they change. Listen, if we're trying to reach God, it's time for the church to say, this is wrong. Just for love's sake, you're looking down at this. Y'all know who said this? It's red letter. This is not an apostle. This is not somebody. This is Jesus. Jesus said, treat them like a publican, treat them like a tax collector. You know what that means? Somebody that's rebelled totally against the system and they have switched over to another nation and they're operating rebellious against God. He said, how would you treat somebody who's rebelling against everything that you believe? I know what you do. We treat you like you don't belong here because you don't, like a stranger. You understand? Is it mean? No, because guess what? From experience, guess what? Your stomach, your brain is twisted in knots through this whole system. I wish we could be through that whole system right there. From that first, listen, when I'm not talking about when you think they're right and you think, when you know that this is wrong, your stomach is in knots. And you're saying, this is a last resort. Do you think I want to come down here and confront you about this? But I would rather confront you and still have the presence of God in the house other than to go forward and God not be in this. And then when the three of you come in there or the two comes in there with you, you say the same thing. I would rather you be mad at us and us have God in our meetings, in our service, in our church, than you to be going on in this. It's wrong. And then the church has got to see, hey, we love you, but we love God and this church more than we love the way you're acting. Are y'all good? Have you ever got something and you think, man, I can't wait to share this? And then I got in the middle of this thing and I'm sitting here going, golly, boom, this is tough. I hope that we can apply this in big issues and small issues, because this right here will save you a lot of time and trouble if you do it. If you don't do it, you're going to have to ride through a lot of time and a lot of pain and a lot of heartache. And it'll still end the same, but you'll lose a lot more people. Are you good? Watch this. Y'all want to see something I've never seen in it before? Because you're about to see something that blew my mind. Watch this. Verily, verse 18. Does this belong here? When I first read this, I said, God, hey, you put this verse in the wrong place. Matter of fact, the next three of them. Either we're taking them out of context or God, you put them in the wrong context. Which one do you think that is? Either we use them in the wrong context or God, you put them in the wrong context. I think it's us. Watch this. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on heaven, bind on earth, you shall bind in heaven, bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth, you shall be loosed in heaven. What? Every time I've heard that used, that's spiritual. I did that with both fingers. It's spiritual. You bound it on earth, you bound it in heaven. You bound it in heaven, you bound it in earth. And you think, man, you're bound in spirits, demons, drug addiction. Right? But guess what that means? God's, you better get this. God said, if you will get yourself in order, the person who's sinning and trespassing and causing turmoil, if you'll move them out of the church like I would move them out of heaven, then I'll be in the presence with you. But if you don't move them out of the church, then heaven ain't going to move for you. Well, that sounds like it's in context. That sounds like to me is, you're so lined up with God, when something's wicked, something's trespass, something's sin, something's wrong, something's in the body that shouldn't be there, if you call it out, God operates. He operates on earth and He operates in heaven. But if you're not even willing to take the task of making it right, then God says, I'm not working. I'm not binding anything. I'm not loosening anything. You want spirituality, but you won't even deal with your basic situations. I thought, God, you put that in the wrong place. Because that's a spiritual verse in the middle of how do you deal with confrontations? God says, if you don't deal with the confrontations, I can't be in the presence with you. Because you're a divided house. You're a divided people. And if you're fighting amongst each other, where in the world does the Prince of Peace have in the midst of a wrestling ring? How can God come in the middle of a boxing ring and be spiritual with you when you won't even be honest about what you're mad about? And, oh, God, preacher, don't do it. Don't step over into that place. I love you, brother. I love you, sister. I'd love to stab you in the back. Huh? I love you. No. If love means I grit my teeth. Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. We can't be that real sometimes, right? When you love somebody, when you'll tell them the truth. What you're doing to cause division and strife and heartache, that's hurting me. And I want you to stop. What you're doing to cause division in this church, it hurts me. Stop. How dare you do that? It's not about me. I want to restore the relationship. I want you to be well. But I can't keep coming here this way. I can't come here mad and leave mad. I can't come to church mad and leave mad. I can't afford that. You can't. We can't afford to come to church and just waste services. I can't. I don't want to come to church and be like, well, that one was just a bad. I want to come and have God every time. And if I can't, then praise God, we need to fix what's broken. And if we're willing to fix what's broken, then God will sit there and say, all right, just have your church the way you want. Have dysfunction the way you want it. I can't afford that. Who wants to? Man, I don't want to. I've been to church where I showed up mad and left madder. I've been to church where I sit there and go, golly, I'd rather be eating cornbread in the desert than be here. I want to come in here all right, and I want to leave better than I came. I want to love the people that I go to church with. I want to say, man, my church family is better than my physical family. I don't know about that. I'm going to spend a lot longer with y'all. If my physical family don't get right, I'm going to spend a lot longer with you. Amen? Y'all, let's get a couple more. Verse 19, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, God, I can't hardly read tonight, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Another, what? Do you see it? We've used that verse. We don't even use that first context. Get rid of the issue, get rid of the sin, get rid of the one that's causing all the issues, and where if you'll agree touching anything, guess what? I'll hear it and I'll operate. Why are people still in the situation? Why is the power of God not falling in the church? It's because we'd rather have dysfunction and anger and strife than we would the Spirit of God. Because if you get rid of that other stuff, then God will show up and God will be moving, and people will say, well, what are you doing? We'd rather have God than junk. Rather eat from God's table than the world's table. It's not about a power trip. I don't want power. I don't want control. I want God. Amen? This is not about us. Y'all want the last one? Golly, it blows you away. Can't even believe it's all there. Can you? Verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Do you know what I thought this verse was for? Services where nobody showed up. See, y'all know what I'm saying. You go to a meeting where only about five people show up. Where two or three are gathered, God will be there in a minute. You know what I mean? What it means is nobody showed up. That's totally out of context. What he's saying is where two or three come and get in agreement. I don't care if it's two, three, 300, 400. I don't care. If you come together and y'all agree that I'm God and you want me to handle the problems and the situations and all the things that are going on in your life, then I will. But if y'all show up and you hate this one and this one hates this one and another one, he's refereeing the two, I will not be there. I'll not meet you there. Not be there. I'm not gonna be there until you're willing to solve the problem. Whew. You know what this is not? It's just mature Christianity. It's just big old grown-up Christianity. I didn't feel no goosebumps tonight. I didn't run a lap. I didn't shout. I didn't weep. Not a big altar call. Maybe not. But I tell you what I did do. I learned how to fight my problems. If I got a big problem in my church with somebody, I learned how to deal with it. I go right to that person. And I talk to them about it. And guess what? If we get it fixed, we got a brother. We got a sister. Amen? A lot of times that, man, you give everybody room when you go in there one-on-one. Amen? Let me give you this too. If you go in there and it's messed up, and you go in there and again, I'm still preaching. Just check this out. If you go in there the second time or two or three and it's still messed up, and if you go in there with a big group and it's messed up, guess what? It gets pretty clear who the person is that's messed up. Amen? We try to solve it one-on-one, two or three, then about, what is it, about 100, 200 people there, and they still sitting there acting crazy. You know, you don't have to sit there and go, you know what? We're the one of the crazy ones. Are you good? Does it make sense to you now? What are you trying to do? What in all that would you want to do? You want to fight well. Because what you want to do is you want the restoration. I don't want to be right and them to be wrong. What I do want is I want us to be whole. I want God to restore the relationship. If that's possible, that gets solved in the first jump, in the first thing. Then guess what? God is freely working in our church. Amen? Has this helped you tonight? Does it make sense? Listen, I've never heard nobody teach on this.